Praise the Lord. What time do I have to stop? Nine? No. Where's Brother Tim? 1 hour. Praise God. I usually don't get an hour to preach. Now, I take an hour to preach, but I usually don't get an hour to preach. That was pretty awesome, the Jesus walking on the water there. Isn't it something how many times the Lord said, "Oh, ye a little faith," the people who saw these things, amen? And here we are 2,000 years out, and, you know, we believe. Because what's written in the book, amen? I mean, I believe that. I mean, not the movie, obviously. I believe the book. The movie's got some work to do, but anyway. What a blessing it is to be here. Eight years already, Brother Tim, his vision is becoming a very good habit. And I enjoy it. I want to say thanks to the preachers. Thank you, Brother. Brother Mike, the woman with the issue of blood, wasn't the garment that healed him, amen? So I'm not going to sell you a handkerchief or anything. And Brother Lara, is Brother Lara still here? That was a good message, amen. The loaves and the fishes, and he kind of like was helping me on my message because I'm preaching out of that same section where the Lord does the loaves and the fishes. Then Brother Guerrero, turning water into wine, excellent job. He had a little spizzorinkdom for an old guy, didn't he? He was impressive. Kept our attention. He's a good preacher. Amen. Brother Fenton, is he here? He left too? I didn't think anybody was skinnier than Tim Kewen. I mean, that guy takes three steps before his pants move. Where is? Oh, there he is. I thought Tim was thin. Amen. Guy hardly casts a shadow. Hey, Brother Paco, not talking about you now. Got past that. Resurrection. Yeah, I'm going to need your help. My car needs one. I'm killing you. I'm nervous. That's why I got to do stuff here. Brother Kewen. I was telling Brother Kewen, it took about 15 minutes before I figured out how he was doing the message. I said, oh, I see what he's doing. He was breaking it down for us. Amen. That was a blessing. See, and I never know low was like half a look, but actually it's like a double look almost, right? Look real good is what it means. Look real well. And then thank you, church, Bible Baptist in Central Falls. Thank you for the wonderful meal. That was good. The meal was good. It's always a blessing to be with you. Thank you, Brother Tim, for hosting this. All the gifts. I mean, I feel like I'm special. I usually don't get gifts, especially if I'm going to preach. They usually just kind of usher me out quickly. Songs are good, Brother Del Cid. Keep working on that music. And then Brother Chris Baker is going to follow me. So hopefully I won't tread in your garden, brother. I was a little nervous with Brother Carl because I'm preaching on Jesus walking on the water, and he was about Jesus calming the storm and all that. And I was saying, I know how he preaches. I said, he's not going to leave me anything. But he did, so I appreciate that. He kind of went a different direction, so he left me wide open. And I was telling Brother Riccio, you know, he's preaching on Mark 4 and the four guys letting the guy out. And I said, I don't know where I'm going to start necessarily, but I might end there. picking on him. I think Tim said, we're saving our amens for you, but we're saving our boos for him because he needs to be humbled. Amen. It's good to be here. Praise God. This is exciting. Really exciting. We're going to be in Matthew 14. Matthew 14. And Jesus walking on the water. Brother Tim said, oh, we're preaching on the miracles of Jesus. What do you want to preach on? And Brother Parker already got turning water into wine. So I gave him my notes, by the way. And so I said, Jesus walking on the water. I don't know why I said that, but like all these, see, preachers preach weekly, very weekly. every 7 days or so, they got to make a message, right? And so we don't have like months really to study on a particular message. I mean, I don't. And so with the Nehemiah service, we get a topic, and we got like 2-3 months to really just like concentrate on this, pray about it, study it, meditate, write a note here, write a note there. So I really appreciate that, brother. That's good. Matthew 14, verse 22, if you stand up, we'll read here. It says, and straightway Jesus constrained, that's my first point, constrained his disciples to get into a ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitude away. And when he sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And that's my third point. I think. Yeah. And on the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, it is a spirit. And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And Peter answered and said unto him, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come. That's my fourth point. Unto thee on the water. And he said, come. And when Peter was come out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, Lord, save me. And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, O thou little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? When they were coming to the ship, the wind ceased. And that's my fifth point. And when they were in the ship, then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for our Savior. Thank you for the preaching today. Thank you for the great opportunity that this church has allowed us, Lord, and the blessing of being here all day here in thy word. Help me, Lord. Use me. Help me a blessing and encouragement. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So, you know, this is, we probably heard dozens of times this preached on. And, you know, Jesus walks on the water, walks on the sea. But as you read the text, the passage starts out with Jesus hearing about John the Baptist's death. Now, I don't know how many really close friends Jesus had who he really thought highly of, but I know this, he thought highly of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was not only family, amen, but he was, there's a man sent from God whose name was John. Same came for a witness. That man was humble. He said, I can't even unloose the shoe latchet of my Savior. Behold the Lamb of God. I mean, of all the men on the earth, Jesus said, none greater born of a woman, filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. That was quite the man, amen. And he hears about how that rascal Herod, a little bit later he says, beware of the leaven of Herod. You better watch it. Because some girl danced before him, and he opened his big mouth. Obviously, I'm not a fan of Herod. He says, I'll give you whatever you want. And then her wicked mother says, give me John Baptist's head. And it cut off the boy's head. You know, that's not right. Amen. And Jesus hears about it. Now, I've had brothers who's died. Amen. I've been to some brothers' funerals. Amen. It kind of like puts a damper on things. But you know what Jesus did after that? He starts healing the multitudes. And I thought about it, I said, you know, that's my Savior. You know what? I know he was feeling not the greatest day, but he still did the work. And let me tell you sometimes, brother, it might get hard some days. But you know what you do? You get up, you get dressed, you pray, you read your Bible, you do what you're supposed to do, and you don't whine about it, amen? And you don't let, who wants to be healing the multitudes when you just hear John the Baptist is dead? You know, you want to just go crawl in somewhere and cry and say, God, you know, let me, bring a lightning bolt down on Herod and split his forehead. You know, that's what you want to do. But you can't because you're the God, you know. Came not in the world to condemn the world. Thank God I'm not God. You'd all be in trouble. Don't amen me enough. Amen. Thank you, son. And then afterwards he goes up and prays. So I don't know what he prayed about, but he did the work first. You know, they say, you work before you play, right? He worked, then he went and prayed. Now, I'm sure he's praying all the time, amen, and we should be praying all the time. But that, it was in the middle of the night when he goes up to pray. And I know he was getting things settled with God, amen. But meanwhile, he tells his disciples to go across the lake. And I was interested in this because, you know, by the grace of God, I've been on that lake, amen? And it's big, but it's not 25, 30 furlongs. And so I looked at where Jesus was feeding the 5,000 and where he told them to go. And, brother, it's like a mile or two. And it's saying they rode 6 to 7 miles. They're rowing. You know why? Because the winds were contrary. They're rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing and rowing. How do you say it in Espanol? Remando, 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 remando. Then Jesus comes walking on the water in the fourth watch of the night. That's the, 12 hours, right? Somebody said 12 hours in the day in one of the movies. 12 hours in the night, right? Fourth watch. You're talking like 3 o'clock to 6 o'clock in the morning. Jesus comes. It's like, Jesus, why didn't you come like 45 minutes into the trip? You know, our arms are falling off. He let them row for 3 watches. Rolando? Remando? Remando? Remando. Muchas horas. Los brazos. Como spaghetti. Inglés. Spaghetti arms. You ever get that? I'm sure when they got to the other side, they're saying, man, thank God that's over. Then Jesus comes walking to them. And then if you read John, as soon as he gets in the boat, they're on the other side. It's like all of a sudden they're on the land. Say, what? How'd that happen? Seriously, I mean, it's an amazing thing. There was 4 miracles there, brother. I mean, I'm preaching on one of them. I'm not actually preaching on any of them, actually, but I'm just using that as an airplane strip. I'm going to take off, fly around, land in Mark 4. I'm teasing. Here's the miracles. Jesus walking on the water. Peter walking on the water. Calming the storm and whoop to the other side. Most of them forget the whoop to the other side. And so I'm trying to take, he liked that. I bring my own crew because I know you guys are like stiff. You know, if I didn't know this was Baptist, I think you're all Presbyterians. No, I'm teasing. That's not true. That's not true. You ever get the idea that you're rowing and it's like, I got a short way to go. Why is it taking me so long to do this little thing in my life? This thing should take me 10 minutes, and the internet's down, and the computer don't work, and my wife needs me to do a job, and the car don't work, and the thing don't work. I can't find my pen. My glasses are missed. Why does it take so long to do a little thing? Right? Then you ever notice how some big thing, the Lord takes care of it like that. That's what you have in this chapter. See, you got the 12. He said, didn't you consider the miracle of the loaves? That was like a big problem that he took care of like this. Then he gives them a little problem that they think, oh, that's easy. Row to the other side. We get done 15 minutes. And they're rowing all night. He flipped it on them. You see what I'm saying? And that's showing us some things. We just got to follow God, be faithful to God. We just got to keep on rowing when he says rowing, because he's teaching us the winds are contrary. The winds are contrary. That's what the Bible says here. He feeds the 5,000. This is kind of like the flip side. You know, like you buy. You know, I this is totally random. This is pretty good. I worked for, back when I was 17, I worked for a guy named Page, not Jimmy Page, another Page. He was on the Safaris. Now, if you guys are sinners, you know, Wipeout. Anybody not know that? Some of our Spanish brethren probably don't know that song. Well, anyway, he was the saxophone player. And I said, you were the Safari? He goes, yeah. He goes, I'm still getting royalties on. I was like, and I said, well, tell me the story of that. He goes, we worked so hard on our hit, which was on this side of the 45. And then we were doing the other side of the 45. We didn't know what to fill it with. So it took us 5 minutes to go. And that one became the big hit. You ever feel like that? I know you'd feel like that. You put so many efforts, see what irons get hot, and you get surprised all the time, don't you, brother? Brother Baker's always trying something new. We do pray for you, brother. So sometimes the difficult stuff is easy. Sometimes the easy stuff is difficult. But Jesus is praying for us. And then he takes them over to the, you know, now I think it was John that called it Bethsaida. And I looked up what Bethsaida means, house of grace or house of bounty or house of fruit, house of fish. So he's going to get us to the other side. Amen. And, you know, you can row, remando, but you can't get to heaven by works. Amen. Jesus got to get you all the way over there to the house of grace. Amen. And he gets you there. And that's why Paul said, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Jesus comes in the fourth watch in the night after they've rowed 6-7 miles. That's amazing. So we learn from this chapter what's hard for Jesus. Nothing's hard for Jesus. Excuse me. What is hard for us is not hard for Jesus. The loaves. So I thought I'd get like a big amen out of that. You know, what's hard for us is not hard for Jesus. And then I thought about this. My father owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. He spoke the worlds into existence. The street of gold is paved with gold. That's redundant. There's a street of gold, walls of jasper. You know, he's got all the resources he wants, except one thing. Men to give their free will totally up to him. He searches for a man to stand in the... So he's got everything he needs except faithful men. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he send forth laborers. That's you. That's where you guys come in. Amen? The Lord got all the resources, but then he gave us free will, and we're the ones that hold back. And then you know how we think? We got no resources, right? But we got God. It's the opposite. That's the way he wants it. He's got all the resources, but doesn't have us necessarily all the time. And we may not have any resources, but we got God. Think about it. It's a pretty amazing thought. That's what I learned. Yeah, we can give you a list a mile long, everything I want, everything I need. But if you got God, you got it all. There's some reasons for discouragement. I'll throw these in. The Lord wanted me to list these. I don't know where I'll put them in the message. Actually, if you know how I preach, I go like 45 minutes of introduction and 10 minutes of points. Reasons for discouragement. You ever get discouraged? This is what I wrote. No joy. No comfort. No hope. You ever go a day and say, man, I just don't have joy. See? Why don't you have joy? Who's the answer for joy? Thank you. No comfort. Some people are discouraged because, you know, they're in pain. No comfort. I need comfort. Who's our comforter? Amen. How about no hope? Man, I got no hope, man. I can't get a job, can't pay the bill. Don't know it. Nobody likes me. I guess I'll eat some more. No hope. Who's our hope? No friends. You know, there's people out there. Let's see if I can meet somebody. No, y'all got friends. Anybody here would say, I got no friends? Okay, one in the back there. But you got Jesus, amen. You got a friend that stick a closer than brother. But, you know, there's some people that's, you know, I mean, when you're in the ministry, you hear this. Oh, Pastor, I'm so lonely, I got no friends. What do you tell them? Jesus is your friend. I would love to think of Jesus since I found in him a friend. See that? No purpose. Oh, what's this life all about? All I do is work, get up, go to work, get up, go to work, go up, pray to be. I got no purpose in life. Who's your purpose? Jesus. How about guilt? Why are you doing in the tavern 6 nights a week? Trying to drown the guilt. Who takes care of guilt? Jesus. How about fear? Some people live in fear. Well, I'm discouraged. I can't go outside. You know, how many of these, what do they call them? Like, no, I was thinking like, they got the word like, huh? No, I was thinking like, you know, they got people afraid of spiders and afraid of water and afraid of phobias. I mean, I don't know how many phobias there are in the world, but they're probably like, you know, light phobia and dark phobia and all this stuff. He said, why do you fear? How about burdens? Oh, man, I got to take care of my brother, my mother, my sister, my family, my whatever. Burdens, 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 burdens. They'll wear you down. Who's your answer for burdens? Jesus. Sickness. Who's the great physician? I think Mike preached on it. Poverty. Lack of needs. Well, I'm just poor. Well, visit the world. You'll see what poor is. And there shouldn't be one person in the United States of America who complains about being poor. In fact, you notice the poor ones, they have a bigger belt size than I do, and I'm not small. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy. Then the Bible, so I'm thinking about these guys, Remando, I got to write that down. I'm going to use that. Remando. So, is there a guy's name like Rolando? So, Rolando is Remando. If thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. But who's our strength? I mean, all through, I got like 5-6 Psalms here. So, but God is my strength, right? We know this. And when we're weak, he is strong. But the Lord was showing them, I think, if thou faint in the day of adversity. Why? Because the winds are contrary. They're going like this. We're not getting anywhere. But then Jesus shows up. Whoop! And they're over on the other side. Jesus answers all these. Now, we live in a world that's contrary. Ephesians 2. You hath he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. You walked according to the course of this world, the prince of the power of the air, the spirit now working in the children of disobedience. Matthew 4, all these things I'll give you if you bow down. Romans 13, Luke 4. So I was thinking about the winds are contrary. Brother, when you got saved, the doctrine of Christ puts you in a situation where you're contrary to the world. And the world's going to hate you. And Jesus didn't say, take you out of the world. He said, to keep you from the evil. Right? You are in this world, and you are in a contrary state the minute you leave your house or your church. Amen? And the political system is contrary. The monetary system is contrary. The military system is contrary. The intelligence, the educational, the entertainment, the business, even the religious systems of this world are contrary, constant contrary. Somebody was preaching about, yeah, it was Brother Lara. That's a shame if you got to tell your needs to a lost person. You got to repent of that. I mean, that made me feel bad for other people, right? Remember when he was talking about you got a need and they don't go to God, they go to somebody who's not even saved? That's bad. Don't do that. The political system, Jesus is King of Kings. The monetary system, he says you cannot serve God and mammon. The military system, he says the weapons of our warfare are mighty. The intelligence system, Jesus says he is our wisdom. The educational system, Jesus says learn of me. The entertainment system, Jesus says rejoice in the Lord. Or somebody said rejoice in the Lord. Paul said it. The business system, Jesus said I'm about my Father's business. The religious system, he is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. And so what God wants you to be is committed to his way. When you go out in this world, you're going to see people that aren't committed to the Lord. And I don't really, you know, they say, oh, this world's going to hell in a handbasket. Yeah, it's been going to hell in a handbasket. That's why Jesus came. The world was already condemned. Amen. Came out in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. But you know, you're going to, most people, this is how they think. They care more for the body than the soul. See, we care more for the soul than, we care more about people's souls than they do. That's a shame. They care more about stuff than God. They care about more about self than they do serving others. They care more about fun than joy. They care about entertainment more than the Bible. They have more cares than commitment, or their cares keep them from commitment. They care more about mammon than the master. They say, my will, not thy will. They care more about pride than humility. That's for Hermano Paco. Just kidding. I love you, brother. I shouldn't have said that. I'm having a good time. What time I'm done? Oh man, I got time. Thank you, brother. So I'm going to give you these 5 points. Constrained, committed, contrary, come, and then content. I think the Bible uses another word there. Uses ceased. Constrained. So the Bible says that Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship. Now, I like that word constrained. See, Jesus constrains his disciples. Now, you know, it's like when the Bible says that, Jesus said, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. Well, you can't be a fisher of men since if you're not following Jesus. You can't do that on your own, right? And if you're following Jesus, you have to be a fisher of men because you can't follow Jesus and not be a fisher of men, right? So when it says he constrained his disciples, I think, you know, if you're a disciple or you want to be a disciple, you got to let God constrain you. You got to be constrained by the Lord. That means you're obedient to what God wants you to do. Now, I know you can be saved by grace through faith and live like the devil, and people are going to doubt. You're going to have a bad testimony. And if you're truly saved, amen. I kind of doubt those people. But then there's people who are disciples. These are people who say, I'm going to commit my life to following the Lord Jesus Christ. That means as I live and breathe, not my will, but thy will be done. Doesn't matter what comes, Jesus' word is number one. And by the grace of God, I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to forsake father and mother and sister and brother and things of this world and lands and my own life also and follow him. Because he said he can't be a disciple unless you do that. Man, forsake all he hath. I'm going to forsake, young man, all I have to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. You don't meet too many people like that. I love y'all, but I'm not your judge. But, I mean, you got to judge yourself, right? Are you a disciple? You're constrained. So he puts them in a boat. And he says, go on the other side. They didn't say, Lord, why don't we go the other way? Hey, God, let's do it tomorrow. You know? I'm still like, you know, that, I was going to say chicken, but it wasn't. It was bread and fish, right? It was like the ones they showed in the movie, right? No, I think Brother Lara was right. I think they're little things, amen? But they all ate to their full. I mean, they could have said, hey, food coma, siesta time. Lord, I don't feel like rowing. Why, God? Why you got to do it now? You know, let's take a break. I hear that all the time. Paul said he was constrained to preach the gospel. He says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. 2 Corinthians 5:14, for the love of Christ constraineth us. See, it's the love of Christ that constrains us. And if Jesus says to do it, we ought to just do it. Amen. Now, 1 Peter 5, hey, Brother T. 1 Peter 5 says, taking the oversight thereof, you know, the shepherd, you know, to feed the flock, not by constraint. So when it comes to the ministry, he wants you to desire the office. Man, desire the office. He calls you to it, gives you the desire, gives you the gifts. But you're constrained to be a disciple. Or if you're a disciple, you're going to be constrained. Let me encourage you, brethren, be constrained. You might be remandoing all the time. Secondly, they were committed. These guys were committed. That's what I see. You know, as I read this passage in Matthew 14, these guys were rowing and rowing and rowing, and they only stopped rowing because Jesus showed up. Imagine if Jesus didn't show up for 2 days. You think they'd still be rowing? Probably. Committed. Committed. You know, all through the Bible, we see people that were commended for just hanging in there. David's mighty men, remember that one guy? He fought so much that the sword clave to his hand. There was another fellow there, I like this, about he had a little field of lentils. Remember that? He wouldn't give up. I mean, most people just say, it's a field of lentils, let him have it. No, he said, no, they told me to defend this land, I'm going to defend this land. You say, my church is small, my church is big. Yeah, that's your field of lentils. Be faithful unto death. That's what God says. Amen? You say, oh, people pass by and they say, what's that dude doing out there? That's just a dumb old field of lentils. Yeah, but it's my field of lentils. Amen? Actually, it's the Lord's field, but my life effort, brethren, is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. And the winds are going to be contrary, but I don't want to be blown to and fro by every wind of doctrine. I want to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, you may say, hey, I'm not getting any closer to the shore. But Jesus is going to get you to the shore. See, that's the thing. That's the thing. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able. See, I'm not getting myself there. He's getting myself there. I just got a Rolando. No, not Rolando. Raimondo. But the winds are contrary. And they're going to try to blow me over this way. And they're going to try me blow. And you know what? It's sad because if you don't know the Bible, amen. Thank you, Brother Carl. That was some good Bible. You got to learn your Bible like that. Amen. So that you're not blown. Because every loose nut that ain't on the right bolt is going to come and try to make you a washer. I don't want to be a washer. Jesus said of John the Baptist, what went ye out to see? A reed shaking in the wind? I'm a reed. No. You know, sometimes you just got to, like, say it sweetly, but you're still going to be seen mean. Right? You know, speaking of truth and love, sometimes people are going to get mad at you. They're going to hate you. What went you out to see? I was thinking also, I mean, I don't think too deep, but this was a pretty good thought for me, I thought. But, you know, Jesus said, if I go not, the Comforter doesn't come. Right, we have the Comforter. But he had to go up. And so when he's with his disciples, like you see in the movie and stuff, you know, he's going down the path, they're following him. I mean, how easy is that? How easy is that? Jesus makes a left turn, you follow him. He makes a right turn, you follow him. He says, sit down, you sit down. He says, stand up. He says, we go, go. He says, get in the boat. Raimondo, Raimondo. Yes, sir. That's easy. But then he goes, so that we, 2,000 years later, he doesn't want to be walking on this world for two. Can you imagine his limited, well, I shouldn't assume, but, you know, I mean, in the human form, he was in Jerusalem. Then he had to walk over here and then walk over there, get in a boat and go over here. I mean, you get tired just watching those movies. It's like, man, them guys must have, like, thighs of iron going up and down them hills, right? The calves, like, really? I mean, think about it. They're moving all the time. Now, 2,000 years later, every one of you has the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the hope of glory. You go home, you take it with you. That's a blessing. See? Otherwise, Jesus would have this huge multitude following him, and you know how often he discouraged the multitudes from following him. Amen? So they were committed. Thirdly, these winds are contrary. We row contrary. Now here's a point that I put. Sometimes the way of God is contrary to our own sense. You know, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. See, there's a thing going on in these last days where people put the calling over the commandment. They put what they think is the will of God over the word of God. Amen. They say, God called me to do this, that, and the other. It's the weirdest things you ever seen, ever heard. And you say, what's that? They're convinced of it. And everybody's got to make a big splash and a big light show and a big, you know, bands and speakers. And, you know, what about just few guys in a boat rowing across? It may not seem like a lot, but Jesus told them to do it. Praise the Lord. You know, it's a lot of times we are so programmed and so influenced by this world since you're little, especially if you got saved late in life. You know, if you're rocked in the Baptist cradle, like these ones, right? Ever since you were little, you heard the word of God. I mean, I got saved at 25. I had to start over. And a lot of that old way is tough to overcome because that's where the mind goes. I mean, I forget where, but you know, how old were you when you got saved, brother? 17. Were you like a rascal before you got saved, or were you a good little church boy? Okay. Okay. So you ever notice, like, you're in the market or on a commercial, and they play this old song when you were young that you haven't heard for 40 years, and you already know the words. And you're singing it along with them before you even know. You ever had it ever happen to you? And then for 3 days, you're walking, instead of singing, oh, how I love Jesus, you're singing, I don't know. All that said was, oh, wipe out. How many know that song, by the way? Am I just, look at you sinners everywhere. Even the young guys heard it. You're too young. You've got to change your music, buddy. Surfaris. You know, if you work in the world, and I encourage that, your whole work is contrary. Amen? I know, brother, you work. My kids work. Bob works. Some of you are retired. How many work in the world? Come on, don't be bashful. Doesn't your place of work have the stupidest policies? I mean, you can't go in a meeting and say, you know, my wife has a speech impediment. She has to breathe every now and then. They're going to call HR on you. Boy. That was funny. The world is like they're all holding hands in confusion. And everything's okay except the King James Bible. Amen? You know, people wear the stupidest shirts. But if you said one that says, turn or burn, Jesus loves you, they'd call you in the office and say, you can't really wear that. That's inappropriate for the place of business. And, you know, you're offending a lot of people. If you wear it again, you're just going to be out of here because we don't really need that kind of attitude. But no, you could have the rainbow flag saying love is love. Puke. And they're gonna let you stand up and give a speech. World's contrary. Lord constrains us. The disciples are committed. The world is contrary. Peter disregards the storm to go to Jesus. And I like this because we always talk about, I mean, I do, about Peter sinking because he got his eyes off the Lord, right? And that happened. But the fact that he said, Lord, if it be thou, bid me come, that's pretty good. Because you know what James 4 says? For you ought to say, if the Lord will, we should do this or that. So here they are doing what Jesus constrained them to do. Raimondo. And he sees Jesus, but he just doesn't get out of the boat on his own. He says, Lord, if it be thou. Now, there's a lesson here. Because there was a man, I think 1 Kings 13, something like that, somewhere in there. He said, you prophet, you go, you preach to Jeroboam, you go back the different way. You remember that? And he's going back the different way. And some guy says, oh, I'm also a prophet of God. Come back. And he didn't alienate him. Remember that? Say, brethren, don't assume your orders are changed until Jesus changes them. Amen? And he's not going to change what's written. So that's settled. So if you believe God's told you to do something, God's called you, God's confirmed it, and you're sure of it, you better make sure before you go the other way, before you get out of the boat. Because if that wasn't Jesus there, and he started to sink, and he said, Lord, save me, all bets are off. I don't know. Jesus might say, I'll let you sink a little bit. But because he had the Lord say, come at thy word. Amen. He got out and he was walking on water. And that's how we ought to conduct our lives, brethren. That if Jesus says, come, we ought to come. When he says, go, we ought to go. When he says, do, we ought to do. Sounds like that centurion, doesn't it? The Bible says in 1 John 4:1, try the spirits, whether they be of God. Believe not every spirit. Not my will, but thy will be done. How about the Lord's Prayer? Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lead me not into temptation. Many times, now, you know, this might be a theological discussion. So see Brother Q and if you want to know the right answer. But, you know, sometimes you pray, God, I don't know if this is you. Open a door, shut a door. And a shut door is good. Leave it. Fight for it. Lord, I don't know if this is you. Open a door. And if you don't open a door, thank God, because I can't see what's down that road, and I don't want to go down that road if you're not in it. And if you're in it and you open a door, then no matter what happens, I know you put me. I am in Rhode Island. Now, I didn't even know what Rhode Island was. I was born in California. And I didn't see grass till I was like 20. Just concrete. You know? And the Lord said, I want you to go to Rhode Island. I didn't even know what a Rhode Island was. I knew what New York was. I didn't know what a Rhode Island was, and I had to look on a map. And I said, it's a state. Did you know it was from Texas? You don't even think we're even states up here, right? Yeah. Yeah, it's like who is that even inhabited? Is it still the Pocketucks up there or what, you know? And here you all are in Rhode Island. God moved me to Rhode Island in 1986. I'm still here. You know why? Because he hasn't moved me anywhere else. And I really believe, I mean, I know my heart and I hope it's true, but I believe that if God said, we're going to move you, I'd be willing to go. We were going to go to Honduras in 2003. And then God shut that door. But that was, 15 years ago. But we were willing. I think he wanted to think that we were willing. Jesus said, no man can serve two masters. Is your master Jesus Christ? All right, let me finish up, then I'm going to turn it over. So the fifth point, and the fourth miracle, because the third miracle was the storm ceased and all that, but Brother Carl took care of that one real well. The fourth is that they came to the other side, to Bethsaida. The Bible says in Hebrews that he'll never leave us nor forsake us. He gets you to the other side. There's a reason to be content. And in this life, you're going to have hard things that God takes care of like that. And you're going to have seemingly easy things that become some of the hardest things. But see, you just got to keep rolling. You just got to keep faithful. And if by chance you see Jesus showing up in the middle of the storm, coming to you, he's going to make everything better. Before you get out of that boat, just say, Lord, if it's you, say, come, try the spirits. They be of God. Amen. I'm going to leave it there, okay?